Hello and welcome. This is Alexis Neely, and we are here today to help you live your life and run your business with your eyes wide open. You are listening to this audio program because you have made the very smart decision to either invest in the Lyft Foundation System or you are a VIP member of a personal family lawyer or a creative business lawyer. And what that tells me is that you are committed to living and doing business with your eyes wide open. You are not willing to live your life with the worry, doubt, and fear that comes with hiding in the shadows. And you know that true, empowered, and inspired action comes from truth and awareness. Now, the purpose of the monthly Eyes Wide Open interview that you're listening to right now is to help you keep your eyes open. And the way we do that is each month I interview someone that I consider to be a role model in our community, someone you may have heard of before and may even think that you know pretty well. But instead of talking about the things that you've heard about again and again, we're going behind the scenes. We're talking about things that may have been in the shadows and that may have arisen when any person isn't able to see what's right in front of them. See, it's by having these conversations about things that we don't normally talk about that you will feel empowered and inspired to bring your own shadows into the light. And seeing what's right there in front of you might be hard to look at, but when it happens, you're going to see that it opens up a whole new world of possibility for you. So today, I'd love to introduce you to Eyes Wide Open entrepreneur and my good friend, Kendall Summerhawk. Kendall delivers simple ways that entrepreneurs can add multiple streams of income to their business so they can quickly move away from dollars for hours work and fulfill what she calls your soul's divine purpose with a successful and authentic business. Kendall is the author of the book Brilliance Unbridled, and that's because she loves horses. And if you are around Kendall, you will hear all about her beautiful horses and her life in Tucson, Arizona. She's also created a number of information products like how to charge what you're worth and get it, how to add six figures to your business practically overnight with lucrative high-end platinum-style coaching programs. That sounds great, right? Brand authenticity and branding with archetypes. And Kendall was one of my mastermind partners last year, and it was just such a joy to get to know her because she truly is a role model for me in this community and for many of you as well. So, Kendall, thank you so much for being here with us today.
You are most welcome.
It's one of those things where, you know, you make friends with someone and maybe you don't talk in a little bit of time, but as soon as you connect again, you just pick up right where you left off. And that's how I feel about talking with you, Kendall.
I absolutely agree. It's the same way for me. It's just we just pick up the last time we spoke was this morning.
Exactly.
You know, even though it's probably been a couple of months.
That's right. It's so perfect. And when we were talking about this call, what I asked for you to share with us is some experiences in your business, and maybe you want to first start off by talking a little bit about what your business is so that people can have a context.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned all your great information products in your book, but really what is your business? And then we're going to talk about a time in your business when you found that you didn't have your eyes open and what happened. And so share with us first, what do you do?
Sure. What do I do? That's always an interesting question to answer, actually, because we, like you, we do a number of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, my business, KendallSummerhawk.com, is a coaching company. We focus on women entrepreneurs. We attract a lot of coaches. I would say about 80% of our clients are coaches, and the rest of them are different kinds of healers and designers. You know, we work with really creative people. That's who I attract. And we have a number of different coaching programs that we offer from a beginning success circle program that we have all the way up to our platinum and our diamond program. And I say we because my husband, Richard Shapiro, is my business partner and my husband, obviously, and co-coach, and we run the business together. We work out of the house, which is really cool. And people sometimes ask how we can spend so much time together without wanting to kill each other, but we actually, like if he goes away for the afternoon golfing, I really miss him. So we get along extremely well.
Great.
In the business. It's very simple for us to work together. And then the other thing that we have that we're launching this spring that we're extremely excited about is the International Association of Women in Business Coaching. And that's the IAWBC.com. and we're launching that the very beginning of May. And that's been something we had a vision for a few years ago. That's coming to fruition, and it's going to be fabulous and
it's
very,
so
very
exciting.
Successful.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to be there. So you guys watch your email inbox. I'm going to be telling you all about that association. I'll be there, and I expect that I'll see many of you there as well. So clearly you have really what many people would consider in our community a big business. Obviously not a big business in the context of the corporate world.
Right.
But you have a big business in the context of our world.
We do. I mean, just to put a context here, we finished out 2009 as a $2 million business.
Okay.
And we expect this year we should be able to double that. And so that is a big business. And, you know, it's amazing to me when I stop and think, we run a $2 million business from our home.
Woohoo!
But no,
so
we do have employees, but they don't come to work here, for crying out loud. No way.
Right.
And so it's really pretty phenomenal. And we got the horses. We live in Tucson, Arizona. We built this beautiful home about a year and a half ago, custom. We designed it ourselves and built it ourselves. And we have four horses, and I'm looking for a fifth horse. And I'm looking at them right now. They're right out behind my office window here.
That's so great.
I stare at my ponies all day long, and they stare back at me.
And I have to say that one of the ways that you have been a big role model for me, especially with everything that I teach about legal insurance, financial, and tax, is that you take that stuff seriously.
I take it deadly seriously.
Yeah, I mean, more so than almost anybody else I know. You really do. Why is that?
Well, I appreciate you noticing that, because it's not something that I talk about a lot, because most people, that's not where their interest is.
Right.
But I do take it very seriously. And I'm going to be really truthful here. You know, this is very candid type of interview.
Yeah.
A lot of it is fear. I am terrified of the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I will. I know you're going to ask me about that in a few minutes, about something that happened for me with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the IRS has their own set of laws, you know, and to me they're above the law. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing a program probably 20 years ago on 60 Minutes or something about somebody got in trouble with the IRS and how the IRS would go in and freeze their bank accounts and take all their assets. And I was not in business for myself back then, but it stuck in my mind. I thought, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And so I take it seriously because I worked for a number of startup companies during the late 80s and through the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you work for startups, you know, things happen. All different kinds of things happen. They weren't my businesses. They were other people's businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But two of them went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And
You were watching from the inside that what really happens in business. And so you got to see that and you were appropriately scared.
Yeah, I was appropriately scared. It's like, holy crap, I'm not going to work this hard and invest my life energy, and this is my income.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have another income to rely on. This is it. And so I'm not going to jeopardize that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm probably one of the more heavily insured people that you would meet. I invest a lot in insurance of different
kinds. You have a lawyer. You're on a membership program with a lawyer.
Switched to a different attorney for this year, for 2010. But, yes, I've had a business attorney for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And we also incorporated early. I think when Richard and I first got married, we got married in 2002. And we got married in February 2002, and by October of that same year, we incorporated, even though we each had our own business, we incorporated under an umbrella name. And we did that. Part of it was for, like, you know, legal reasons, that it's, you know, because it's protecting you. But also we did it from an energetic standpoint. We wanted to come together.
Yes.
And it's really worked out well. And then he sold his business and joined me in my business. And so that incorporating under that umbrella was really a great idea.
Right.
And I think I've also paid a lot of attention to it because I don't want it to ever be a problem. And so I would rather take, even though it's not the most interesting thing for me to do, is talk to a business attorney. No, of course I love talking to you. You're fascinating. talking to a CPA. Oh, I'm so sorry. I love my CPA. He is one of the most boring human beings I've ever met on the planet. You know, it's not what I enjoy doing. However, I also don't enjoy flossing my teeth, but I do it every day because I want to have healthy teeth. You know what I mean?
I
do it because I don't want there to be a problem. I want everything orderly and neat and tidy.
Right.
And honestly, Alexis, it makes me feel like I'm taking myself seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel good. I feel professional. I feel like a real business owner doing that, and I know I'm protected.
And it's been reflected back because
it has. Yeah.
Now, look, you are a real business
mm-hmm.
owner. You've got a multi-million dollar business that you're running from home. And so I wonder, did you always feel this way, even when you were not a multi-million dollar business owner?
Well, clearly I did because I set these systems up, like, you know, early on when I was making nothing, you know,
yeah.
when I was first starting.
Right.
We actually had, I was part of a startup company back in the 80s, late 80s, and well, I was actually a partner in that company. And we actually had a client sue us for, it's a long story, and it was ugly, and it was a frivolous lawsuit, and it was dropped, but it cost me money to defend myself.
Yeah. You know,
I had to hire an attorney, and it didn't matter that it was frivolous. You still have to pay the money and go through hoops.
Right.
And I was in my 20s, my late 20s, and again, that experience, you know, I'm kind of a one-time learner. So that experience made me realize, whoa, you know, pardon my language, shit happens.
Right.
And it can come out of left field when you least expect it. I mean, this was a client that loved us and thought we were great and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But he got into a pinch and he saw where he could possibly get some money.
And he lashed out.
Yeah. And he got into a pinch with finances, and he thought, huh, let me throw this suit here and see if I can get some money out of these people.
Right. And what is important for you to recognize here, for everybody to recognize here, is that you can be a person who's so good and so spiritual, and these things still happen. I mean, that's one thing about you, Kendall. You are one of, like, you're so spiritual, and you're so good, and you're so amazing as a person. You might say, well, how could anything bad ever happen to someone like that? And yet, as you said, shit happens to everybody. It does.
And I'm aware, too, that as people become more successful, as you get more public, you know, you have more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a belief I hold. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I think it's a good preventative belief to hold so that I just am aware, wow, I want to continue to always have my trust and faith in people. I want to always be able to come from a generous, totally, like, from the bottom of my heart, giving place. And it's like the house you live in, you know, it has to have a good foundation. It has to have good solid walls and a roof that when the wind blows, that roof's going to stay intact. You know what I mean? And so for me to feel safe and secure and happy and productive and creative, most of all, because my money is in my creativity. I'm very clear about that.
Yeah.
Meaning that's where I make my money, is by being really creative, like you too. You're just extraordinarily creative. That means I have to have a good foundation, and that I actually, as a woman, I think you'll really appreciate this. I've never spoken about this publicly, but as a woman, I want to be protected.
Yes.
You know, as a woman, I do feel a sense of vulnerability.
Mm.
Now, you know, you and I are both not big gals, you know. You're tinier than I am, and I'm not that big. But, you know, and we're tough gals. You know, we're not going to let people mess with us.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think that I've always had this sense as a woman that I think is very different than a man of vulnerability. And I want to be protected. And so for me, and it kind of brings tears to my eyes, actually. So for me, that protection comes, I don't need to be coddled. I don't need people to do the hard things for me. I'm a very courageous person.
Mm-hmm.
However, that protection needs to come in the form of really good, like where there's a legal issue or a tax issue or an insurance issue. I need to know that I have people I can trust, that I can depend on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to protect me and look out for me.
Yes.
And so for me, it's kind of like my family, like my business family, and they better be there for me.
They have to have your back.
Oh, they have to have my back.
Yes.
And when your back's covered, then you know you can surge forward with all this grace and goodwill and generosity. So to me, that's how I balance the spirituality with just some real good practical stuff.
I love it.
Plus, the last thing I'll comment on this is that I have an extreme respect for money. I mean, you know, money is one of my favorite topics. You know that. I do a lot of coaching and teaching and mentoring around this topic. I have a huge respect for money, and it is abundant, but my time is not. Time and energy, I think, are the only two things that I'm aware of on this planet that are limited. They are a non-renewable resource. Once that energy's gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Once your time's gone, it's gone. The money is always there. The money can always be made and more and all that. However, I'm aware, I have such a respect for money, and I have such a respect for that time is a non-renewable resource.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I want my money to be safe. I want to protect it so it can continue to grow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and it's so beautiful the way that you're talking about this, because you're really helping people see that that this is really, in many ways, the deepest form of care you can give your
mm-hmm.
business.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us, we lament, oh, we're not being taken care of, I'm not being supported, I'm not being taken care of. And so you get to look at, how are you taking care of you?
Mm-hmm.
How are you showing that you want to be taken care of and that you deserve to be taken care of by how you take care of you? And Kendall, I mean, you know, is a huge reason you are able to do what you are able to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have freedom.
Yeah.
You
yep.
have freedom to create because you have the foundation in place.
Yeah.
And now,
it's a standard for me. It's a standard.
Yeah.
So I hope that's helpful for everybody hearing
so
this.
So helpful. But what I want to bring up next is people might think, well, then once I have that in place, nothing's going to happen. No. Shit happens.
You can't control other people.
You can't.
And not everybody has the same values, and they don't have the same integrity, truthfully.
Right.
And I know, like, you are a person of enormous integrity. I'm a person of enormous mm-hmm. integrity. But not everybody's like that. Sometimes people have what are called situational ethics.
Mm.
And, you know, then they behave or they act out or lash out. And I think one thing, you know, we'll get into a couple of stories of what I've experienced and how I handled it. But I think the main thing to keep in mind is that it's not personal when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I see women in particular, oh, man, do we take this stuff personally?
We do.
Oh,
we do.
It's like, how could they do that to us?
Yeah.
How dare they? Mm-hmm. I gave them so much. They backstab me. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I've never had a moment where I've succumbed to that thinking,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also very aware that I'm taking it personally when it's actually not personal. And even in that kind of language, and, you know, we've all done it, you know, get into that kind of a groove, that is the language of victim.
Yeah.
You know, how could they do this to me?
Yeah.
I am such a good person.
Yeah.
Well, you know, folks listening to this, sorry, you can be the best person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's things happen. People do what they do. It's not personal to you. And stop being a victim. Absolutely stop being a victim. I don't play victim.
Right.
I used to, and I don't anymore. I don't like the energy of it.
And it's important to be able to recognize it, because most of us can't necessarily recognize that's an eyes wide open issue right
mm-hmm.
there. Can you recognize? Can you see where you're being a victim? A lot of times we can't, and so that's a point of opportunity.
You can feel it, and if you start paying attention, and I get on a soapbox about this because I used to run victim a lot. I understand
mm-hmm.
that tape. And so you feel the energy of it, and it feels so awful.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is about victim, where I'm at with it at this point in my life and in my business, is that I look at it and say, wait a second, where am I not taking responsibility, or where did I not take responsibility? Because I do believe, obviously, in law of attraction. It's like, what did I do?
Right.
What is it that I did that actually helped orchestrate this?
Right.
And it might be a subtle thing. It's nothing I desire to have happen, obviously, but in some way, I'm willing to take responsibility that in some way I played a part in this occurring.
Right.
And I don't have to get upset with myself or anything like that. It's just a place of learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And we're all, you know, being in business, of course, is one of the, I think being in business and being a parent, I'm not a parent, and I know you are, but is the two, I think, most powerful ways that we can, you know, be in a process of continual self-improvement.
Yeah, and see it.
And see it.
So even then, things are still going to happen because, as you said, that people have different values, and there are people that have situational ethics. And so tell me about that. How do you know when you're dealing with someone who has situational ethics?
Well, I don't know that you know it until, for a while, you don't know it until it hits you between the eyes, until something happens, and then you go, oh, my gosh, I was blindsided. I didn't expect it. You want me to tell you about something with a team member?
I do. Yeah, that would be great, because this is where I have again and again and again been blindsided myself.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the process of working with other people, bringing people onto my teams, and building my company. And it's so hard because you can't build a company without support. You can't build a business without support. And at the same time, this is where there's the biggest chance of you not seeing something that's right in front of you. So how did that happen to you?
Sure. I'd be happy to talk about this. And so it's a little embarrassing, but that's okay, right?
Yeah.
So I had, for the longest time, and still to a certain extent have this happening today, I have some team that are part with me, and they'll probably be with me for years and years and years, and they're great. Mm-hmm. But I also have this revolving door at a particular level of assistant within my business, this to a certain level of assistant. Mm-hmm. Revolving door. I mean, it's been the door revolves so fast with a new one in, whoops, not working out they go. Over and over again, that it's like, it's funny, except that it's like, well, what's the common denominator here? Well, it's me, you know?
Yeah.
So, gee. So what happened was that I think the biggest eyes wide open event that happened was I had an assistant, a young gal, and this was a couple of years ago, year and a half ago, actually. And she, I'm not going to go into lots and lots of story here, but basically she seemed to be doing a great job. And there were, you know, there was quite a few errors and things like that and stuff I would never tolerate now. But, we were working with her to improve her accuracy and her spelling and things like that. So right there, that was a warning flag that I wasn't willing to really see strongly enough. Yeah. And that was the warning flag of basic capabilities.
Yeah.
You know, skill set. I thought it was skill set stuff. Well, it wasn't. You know, because skill set, you figure, I can train them. Mm-hmm. I can show them where they're
the
messing
capacity.
Up. Exactly. And this really was her mindset in retrospect. And she, but you trust, when you hire somebody, I think there's such an element of trust, you know, and we only see what we want to see. And, you know, they come into our life, it's typically, it is a very personal relationship, you know, because mm-hmm. they're seeing how we do things behind the scenes, they're seeing us on our good days, our bad days, whatever, and we're trusting them to represent us mm-hmm. to our clients. I trust them to care about me and care about my clients to the same extent that I care.
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily going to happen in retrospect, but that was my expectation. And with this gal in particular, what happened is that she made some mistakes, and I will be honest with you, I've totally blocked out what the exact mistakes were.
Sure, yeah.
But she made some mistakes that were so dreadful. They happened in a very short period of time. They were so dreadful that I actually lost clients from one of our mm-hmm. programs. The people quit the program. It was a lower level program, but still, mm-hmm. they quit the program mm-hmm. because of the mistakes.
Mm.
So now you remember what I was saying about having a healthy respect for money.
Right.
So that got my head.
That got your attention.
Oh, got my attention.
I
my head snapped
then.
Around. All of a sudden, it's like, crap. It accounted for several $1,000s. Again, it was a low end program, but still, mm-hmm. it was several clients. Mm-hmm. I was horrified. I was mortified.
Right.
And I was pissed off.
Yeah.
And so that was it. That was I was at the end of my tether with her.
Mm-hmm.
And which is another thing right there, letting it go too long.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll keep pointing out where the mistakes were that I made.
Yep.
When I went to let her go, and there were some other things too, I can't remember it exactly, with hours where I didn't feel I was getting the value for her time.
Yeah.
So when she went to, this is going to be fascinating. You're going to love this.
Yeah.
When she went, she sent me her last invoice. She sent me an invoice and I paid it. And I set it up, and I don't set it up to pay. We have an accounts manager who does all the payments, but I, you know, gave it approval for it to be paid.
Perfect.
Then this mistake happens. And I realized I need to let her go.
Yeah.
And I'm so pissed because of the thousands of dollars in lost business plus loss of goodwill that she cost me. And she submitted a final invoice for a few $100s. And I said I wasn't going to pay it because I was feeling righteous. I was feeling victim. Even though I was righteous, like how dare, you know, wow, this cost me.
Yeah.
It's victim. See?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's like
she
it's.
She did this. This cost me.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, how could this happen?
Right.
Whose fault was it?
And then we realized, then she pointed out to me that her last invoice had not been paid. Well, within a few minutes of research, I mean, I had sent, I don't know exactly what happened except that it was the stars in alignment a certain mm-hmm. way to teach mm-hmm. me a really important lesson. It
right.
hadn't been paid. I'd approved it, but it hadn't been paid.
Right.
So I actually owed her some money. I don't remember exactly how much, like $1,200, $1,600.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm not going to pay this. And I was going to pay, and I realized, wait a second, that's not fair to her in its entirety because I had already approved that invoice.
Right.
But I decided on that day to start negotiating this. And I wrote her back an email, and I said, I'm not paying this whole thing. I'm going to pay part of it. Here's how much I'm going to pay, and here's why. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, good for me. I'm being really upfront.
Yeah.
And she'll understand, and this is going to be okay. She's not going to like it, but she'll understand.
Yeah.
That's not what happened.
No. I would imagine not.
Really?
Right.
See, to me, it seems so clear.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote back an extremely ugly email.
Right.
Telling me that if I did not pay that in that the full amount of both invoices by a certain date, like 2 days later kind of thing, this is all on a Saturday, by that Monday, she was going to sue me.
Right.
And I thought, yep, right. She doesn't have the resources to get an attorney.
Right.
Mistake. So I'm writing back and forth. I'm writing her a couple more times, pointing out to her how wrong she is in her thinking.
Right. And this is and how much time this is taking you, and emotional time this is taking you.
Oh, I was so upset.
Right.
And I was going through a lot of that. How dare she? You know, anyway.
And now it's a matter of principle.
And now it's a matter of principle. And again, I'm a person of high integrity, so I'm going to stand by my principles.
Right.
So she does sue me. And in fact, what was really, really awful was she actually didn't even wait until the date that she had given me. She actually filed the suit that Monday.
Wow.
Which was really lousy. I mean, it was effective. It was effective. We know how this story is going to end, right? You can already tell where this is going. but I didn't know that. And so I'm still sending her these emails. She's not responding. The next thing I know, I get an email from an attorney saying, well, by now I'm sure you know that you know that she's suing you because you've been served. And I hadn't been served.
Wow.
Flipped out. I said,
wow.
And I wrote back, no, I've not been served. I didn't know I was being sued. And back and forth with the attorney, and they said, if you pay this within the next, I think it was 20, it was that day. It had to be paid that day, and it was a local attorney. She happened to be a local person, that I would be, they would withdraw the suit. I was so angry, but I did it. I made Richard go down. I didn't do it.
And it must have been extremely difficult for you to do that.
Oh, I hated every penny.
But you saw that you already saw how much time you had already invested above and beyond.
Well, and defending that suit, ultimately I was probably going to lose anyway. And
regardless,
it wouldn't have been worth it.
Into the lawsuit,
no.
Would have been losing.
No. Yeah.
Just going
right.
Into the lawsuit is losing in many cases. And now that's not all the time. There are situations in which you have to defend yourself, but you have to look at the dollar amounts involved.
Mm-hmm.
And It is one of the most difficult things in the world to do. It's because it's so easy to get sucked in by your principles.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's let's help people see when this happens for them where they can make a different decision. Now go back to you, that person that was you, and I know you've forgotten a lot of it. But what would you tell yourself, and at what point would you have said, wake up, open your eyes?
Well, yeah, and it was the point, and this is what I've done since then. It's the point of, first of all, having a longer trial period with an employee.
Yeah.
Even if they're an assistant, like right now what we do is a 90-day trial, and I hire salaried employees now, but we do a 90-day contractor trial. So even though if they make it through the 90 days, which most of them don't, because I still have that revolving door there, it's a 90-day trial where it's just subcontractors, so it's a whole lot less involvement. And I think the biggest shift for me, and maybe this will really help people, two shifts actually. Number one, set it up as a trial, and don't be afraid. In fact, not only don't be afraid, you must step up early and say, this isn't working.
Yes.
Or if you say, here's what I need you to do. Like, I'm a perfectionist in how the back end of my business runs, which is why the people don't make it through the trial period. If they do make it through, they're awesome. But the back end has to be perfect. It just does. They can't, they can't screw up on little stuff, because then
This is such a big deal, because when I was first building my business, and still now to this day in some aspects, in fact, I just wrote a blog post about it called Do Not Settle and Do Not Give Up.
Right.
Because this is what we do and what I do and what you've done is we justify, well, it's okay.
No, it isn't okay.
But it's not okay.
No,
well,
because
maybe I'm just too high need and I need
right.
to set back my expectations. No.
This is what women tell themselves. Guys
yes.
don't tell themselves that, by the way.
Right.
This is a girl thing.
Right.
Girls do this. We and see what's happening. What's happening, if you look at the deeper level here, we are taking responsibility for that other person's poor performance.
Yeah.
Well, that is a boundary issue.
That is right.
This is ridiculous.
That is right.
So back then, what I should have done, and I do now, is say this is a trial period, be very, and I was clear about the standards. But when she's not meeting the standards, say, if these standards don't come up, you know, if the performance doesn't come up to standards in the next 2 weeks, then we're going to have to be done and call
yeah.
it a day. Now, I'll be honest with you. I just let somebody go yesterday, 6 weeks into their trial.
Yeah.
She's doing an okay job, little mistakes here and there, nothing dreadful, but she's, you know, I can't tolerate that. I just can't have that.
And the problem is that when we do this in the beginning of our company is mm-hmm. that it works its way into the highest echelons of the company. And then 3 years later, because you can kind of get by with it at some point, you know, in the beginning. But then you're running this big company, and now you're trapped. And that's exactly what happened to me. I let mediocrity be okay mm-hmm. in my first company. And then I had a $1 million business with a bunch of mediocre people supporting mm-hmm. me. And I couldn't turn it around. There was no way. I couldn't bring in excellent people because I couldn't, I had so much support staff that I needed that I couldn't let go of the people so that I could bring new people in.
And I think also what happens then is that this has certainly been true for us. Like my business manager, Renee, is phenomenal. I mean, just an amazing person. And what happens when we've had these other assistants in who are mediocre is that we then find ourselves not giving them work. It's like, oh, let's not give that to her.
Yeah.
And then so Renee gets overloaded. And if Renee's overloaded, then some of it backs up to me, and then I'm not being creative. So it impacts
mm-hmm.
yeah. income and my happiness level, which, you know, I like to be happy on a daily basis.
That's right.
So, I'm really into happiness. So so it's long-term like you're talking, and it's also short-term. You find yourself not giving things to that person because you can't really entirely trust that they're going to come through for you.
Yes.
And I'm all into that standard that they need to come through. And, yes, people do make mistakes. Even Renee, who I think is just perfect, she does make some mistakes, and
sure.
it's totally okay. I don't lose my temper. I'm not mad at her. Nothing. It's fine because 99.9% of the time she's perfect. And,
right.
you know, so
and
yeah,
so
I've hated
it. She makes mistakes. She takes responsibility.
Oh,
for her
total responsibility.
And comes up
mm-hmm.
with solutions.
Yep.
And so this is what you want to hold out for. You want to hold out for that. But let's look at if you haven't held out for that, you know, what can you do? And the only thing that you can do at this point is begin to recognize it. Just become to be aware.
You recognize it, and you need to do something about it. We have another gal who is still with us. She's not going to be after the next month. She knows this. It's not a surprise to her. We've talked. And she's doing her very best. Bless her heart. She's just all out, applied herself, but her best is not good enough.
Mm.
And she may...
And
she's
even
made,
just saying that,
yeah.
I want to just sit with that for a minute. It's okay
yeah.
to say that. Wow, does it bring up some big stuff in me. I mean, big stuff. Like,
wow.
How can anybody say that? Because I believe that everybody has the same potential. And at the spiritual level, we all do have the same potential. But that doesn't mean we've all had the same upbringing. We don't have the same motivation. We're not the same people. And so it's really hard for me to say that, but it's true.
Well, and I look at it as, you know, square peg in a round hole. Like for her, she needs to be in a sales capacity, and I tried to shift her into that 3 months ago. I offered her that role, and
yes.
she turned it down. She said, no, I really like what I'm doing for you here. What I'm doing is this assistant work. Well, the truth is she's not as good at the assistant work.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though her commitment and dedication are there, the quality isn't there.
Right.
And so, you know, and so I have to, I can be compassionate, and I didn't just say you're done.
Yeah.
As of today, it's like your hours are going to decrease. I was pretty sure. Now, that with somebody like that, so I think the thing to come across here that I want to have come across is that you can't just continue to live with it. And I know that's what you did for a very long time, too long in your business.
I did.
You can't live with mediocrity. Mediocrity, you can't live with somebody not being the right fit.
Yeah.
It's not fair to them. It's not fair to you. And by it not being fair to you and you just sucking it up and dealing with it, you end up compromising your ability to help the clients you're supposed to be helping and to grow your business in the way that you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember. I really believe that, and I hold on to that when I have to make a phone call and say, I'm really sorry, but this is not a fit.
Yeah.
And I don't get into a lot of conversation with them about it. I don't want to make, like, this gal who's doing her best and is just not cutting it. There was another reason that I could use to let her go, and I used that reason. I don't want to hurt her feelings.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to let my desire not to hurt her feelings make me continue to put up with inferior performance.
Yeah. And hurt your business and hurt the people that you're supposed to be serving and all of that. And that's what you have to see, is that your desire not to hurt somebody's feelings on a very small level are keeping you from giving your greatest gift to the world in a way that could transform the world.
And I believe it disempowers you and it disempowers the other person.
Yes.
Even though when you let them go, they may be mad. They,
yes.
I mean, I get that. It's no fun being the one that's being left. It's much more fun being doing the leaving.
Right.
I shouldn't say fun, but it's better to be the one doing the leaving.
Yeah.
So they may get angry, but I really believe in my heart that if this is not a fit, if it's not a fit for me, it's not a fit for them. I want everybody to really hear that and write it down. If it's not a fit for you, it's not a fit for them. They may not see that at the moment.
And they may be holding on to it because it's safe and it's comfortable.
Exactly.
But you have to be the leader and be willing to step outside of your comfort zone for their sake and yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's another fit that's better for them. You may not know what it is at that moment. Mm-hmm. They may not know, but I totally believe it. And that's what gives me the courage and the compassion to step up and say, I'm really sorry, this isn't working. So now what we do, just to kind of come full circle on this, is I let them know this is a trial period.
Yeah.
And, and I let them know you're going to have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they never can make a mistake, but when there's lots and lots of little mistakes, it's not going to work for me. I let them know up front. And if I see that there's a problem, I give one opportunity. I speak to them one time about it, or I have Renee do it. Usually at this point, Renee does it. And if they don't come up to speed, which at that point they usually don't, then a week or two later, if it's not improved, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yes. And it's okay to have people constantly coming through, constantly coming through, constantly coming through. Society tells us that's not okay. The norm, at least for me, tells me that that's not okay, but it is. It is okay.
Yeah, I think it's totally okay. And the guy I let go of yesterday, it's, you know, I said, this isn't a fit, and I'll tell you why. The reason is you don't want to be an assistant. You want to be a coach. And there was dead silence for about 10 seconds, and she said, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. So I didn't need to point out that her work was inferior. That doesn't help anybody.
Right.
But the reason it's inferior is because she really wants to be a coach and not an assistant.
Right.
So the conversation was 5 minutes long. She was fine. I said, you know, you could continue to do this for a while, but ultimately this is not your life's calling, and this role requires that somebody feel like this is their life's calling. And she said, I get that. I understand that, and that's not me. So
and that's perfect, because now you're really valuing the role. You are really saying, this is really what the role is worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's and just because you don't like doing the role, you, Kendall, doesn't mean that there's not going to be a person who it overjoys them to do the work, this role. And I think a lot of us block that because we think, oh, who would ever want to do that? But a lot of people would want to do that.
A lot of people.
Thrilled to do it.
I hold out faith, and you hinted at this earlier, too, in our interview conversation here, is that I hold out faith that there's the right person out there, absolutely the right person. And my holding on to the wrong person simply to fill a spot is never going to create an opening for the right person to step up.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's my philosophy.
Well, this was awesome, Kendall. I want to thank you so much for being here and talking with us today about, you just went so deep and really showed us a time when you didn't have your eyes open, but exactly what you did to open them. And you are such an inspirational role model for women in business today, and I'm just so grateful to be your friend and to be having you on this call. So.
You're such a sweetie.
Thank you. I just love you.
I think
you're
fabulous. One of the most creative, generous, loving, kind people I know.
Thank you. And you know, I just like everybody on this call, I think, is struggling with these issues that we talked about. Next time there's someone who's just not living up to your expectations, do not feel guilty for those expectations.
Mm-mm. No.
Know that you are exactly, you know what's right. You know what you want. And being a perfectionist is okay.
When you have a high standard, the right people step up to meet it. And there are people who love high standards. Like Renee is an example. She loves high standards. She loves having that pulled out of her. So
yeah.
She's thrilled at high standards. She's excited and motivated by it. And I really believe that when we hold high standards, and we also, I give a lot of appreciation and gratitude, too, to let, you know, I mean, it goes in both directions. But when we hold up high standards, we open up the possibility that everybody can step up to a new level of brilliance and mastery and enjoyment and grace and elegance and simplicity. So that's what I hold, that's what I think is possible by having high standards.
Totally, 100%. And when you do, you build businesses that make a real difference.
Mm-hmm.
Even
yeah.
if it's a small business, even if it's a little micro business, it can still be making a huge impact with the right people on your team. And so hold out for that. Once again, Kendall, thank you so much for being here. Everybody else, thank you so much for being here and opening your eyes to things that you may not have been seeing up until now. This is Alexis Neely, and until next time, be sure to keep your eyes wide open.